This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour of the show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. And again, they want to make sure you're fully insured. And they want to make sure that you save money. Customer service means everything to them. All at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. All right. Let's bring in Mike Poorman. Mike, first of all, welcome back. It's great to have you with us.
It's great to be with you, Steve. I was thinking of you this morning, and you folks, I'm sure they know this, but not only a broadcaster, you're a legendary professor. You've been teaching since 2003.
Yeah. I'm not legendary there, but I've been doing it since 2003, yes. And it's been good. It's been good. Kids are great. You know, you've worked with them a long time, and you've seen a lot of really great, dedicated students, I'm sure, in your class over time.
Sure. But you've had hundreds and hundreds of students. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's a lot. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. So you've had an opportunity to get, obviously, to practice. You get those brief windows of two or three periods along the way. And then you get an opportunity to talk to people afterward. What have you learned over the last couple of weeks?
Great question. And it's interesting that I just brought up. It wasn't intentional about teaching. I love the teaching style of Andy Kotelnicki. He is everywhere, and he's not just yelling instructions or criticizing. He's hand-on teaching. He's involved on the drills. He pulls kids aside. He pulls kids on defense aside sometimes. I love his energy. I love him as a teacher. I love him as a glue guy, positive glue guy with that offense. That's one of my biggest takeaways. He's a great teacher.
Well, and there's the opportunity because by having Danny O'Brien there as a GA, Andy doesn't have to be just a position coach to go with being the coordinator. He can float from drill to drill like you talked about, and it gives him that opportunity to teach various positions.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. That's a real value added. I mean, you know, Danny may have the GA title, but he also has a quarterback coach title, so he can be literally hands-on with those guys. That's a takeaway. The other takeaway, it's been interesting. We had Julian Fleming, and you know these guys well. Julian Fleming last night, Devon Ellis last week. There's some really neat older players who are super mature who are going to have to. Tyler Warren's another one. We haven't gotten Dom DeLuca yet. But there's some real mature, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth year guys who are really going to be the glue guys in providing direction, leadership, and then ultimately identity to this team since you are looking at three new coordinators.
So let's get into Julian Fleming for a moment. This is probably the first time you've really had an extended chance to hear him talk. What struck you about what he talked about, and what struck you about what he thought about his teammates?
Great question. You know, I went in February, I think it was, of 19 to the PA Mr. Football Banquet down in Harrisburg. Mm-hmm. And Julian was one of the award winners, and so was Daquan Hardy. That's how long ago it was, and James Franklin was a speaker. But I was lucky. I got like 15 minutes with Julian, just him and me, at that point in his life. And he was so engaging. And so for me, it was a really neat comparison. I thought about writing about this last night, but I went with another angle. He's a man. He's grown up. He's thick. He looks like he's 28. He says the right things. He believes the right things. He's been through a lot of good, but a lot of injury challenges. I mean, it was over 5 years ago where I had that face-to-face. He's a different person, and I think all the pluses and minuses that he's been through, I think he is going to be a great, and we hear it from everybody, including James. He's a great locker room guy. He's a wise old head. It's hard not to root for him, knowing everything he's been through and how he looks at things.
All right. Did he get into the two primary quarterbacks at all, Drew Aller and Bo Prabula, and did he give you any impressions of them from his perspective?
Not the mechanics of it. I mean, he was late in the session. There was a follow up about Bo, and his face lit up. So that told me a lot, that he enjoys what Bo may bring to the table. But when he was asked about Drew, he didn't talk about Drew the quarterback. He talked about Drew the person, about the locker room, about the weight room, about getting to know each other. And I think he's understood and will bring to the table. And I think it'll be good for Drew that way, as far as not so much talking about the mechanics of the position and maybe the X's and O's, but also the relationship and also the mentorship. So the fact that when asked about the quarterbacks, those were his two reactions. He's excited by the potential that Bo sometimes brings, and he sees that he needs to have an important role off the field with Drew.
Defensively, you mentioned Devon Ellis. What was the read you got from him? And when you had an opportunity, I think it was Tim Allen was last week, what were your impressions with him?
You got to love Devon. Yes. Devon is, you know, he's, and maybe I already used this and maybe overuse it, he is a glue guy for that defense. The guys believe in him. He's a super positive guy. And there is a point, I mean, he came through last year, where you can be that type of person, but you have to perform on the field. Mm-hmm. With Tim Allen, in watching him in practice and watching him in that interview, and you see it, you're there all the time, the way he reacts with his whistle. He still did it last night. I had tweeted that out the last couple of practices, so I wasn't surprised when James brought it up. But it looks like he's having fun being a coach again. And certainly these days when you're a head coach, it's hard to be hands-on. I think you would be the guy to know this better than me, but I would say in the couple windows that we've had, he seems more comfortable being an on-the-field coach.
Yeah,
you can see that literally happening before your eyes.
Yeah, that's what I said to Jack. Jack Hamm and I were talking about this, and I said, you know what? I said, sometimes you get back to the expression these days is coaching ball. When you're the CEO and you're overseeing everything, okay, you're still coaching ball to a point, but you're also doing 100 other things. He's over there now. He's coordinating. He's back to talking about football, teaching football, and you can tell that he loves that and doesn't have to deal with the other stuff, and I think that's a big plus.
You're exactly right. One of my favorite sayings is, that guy's a football coach.
Yeah.
You know, come game day, he loves coaching. Or practice, he loves coaching. Like, Tom Allen is a football coach who's finally getting to coach again. I mean, he looks like he's from the 1960s and dresses that way. But, you know, there's that old school aspect, which is an interesting dichotomy. And I thought Manning was a fabulous teacher. But there's a dichotomy, and it's kind of interesting, is that James Conner mentioned this last night. You know, some of these guys, this is their third linebacker coach. This is their third coordinator. The right. Double-edged sword is one. And I remember a player explaining this to me one time. It's like someone new comes in, and you have to show who you are all over again. That's one side. But the other side is I'm learning a new bag of tricks from someone. So there's that as well. So, you know, someone new coming in, there's pluses and minuses. And you have to, again, look at these guys as younger guys still learning the game and being taught the game by whether it's an Allen, a Diaz, or a Brett Pry.
Well, it's a fresh set of eyes, a fresh perspective. But there's another part, too. There's also, you have to, for either the coach coming in or the players, somebody's got to give on the language part. Like, what's the terminology? How do we do this? How do we, you know... And that, the language part is always an interesting part as to what, you know, how much of it still sounds the same from before in terms of how a play is called and how much is it different where everybody's got to learn it.
No, I think you're right. And I think James has made the right decision on both sides of the ball of having Kotelniki and Allen adjust to the nomenclature that mm-hmm. the players already know. Let's say that they've been speaking Spanish the last 3 years. It's the same words. But if someone comes in and tries to get them to speak French, they have to learn the language and then what the words mean. So now coming in, Kotelniki and Allen, they're going to learn how to speak Spanish so the players can react more quickly to the concepts rather than the words.
The blue-white game will be coming up on the 13th. No jobs are won. It has nothing to do with that. So at least going in, and what we see may change what you write about later, but going in, do you have some ideas of what you're looking for to see if they come to fruition or not?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think you're looking for cohesion on the offensive line. Mm-hmm. The receivers, there's not much new there. The backs, you've already got that figured out. But can these guys with the relationships function as a unit? And then I think you're also looking the same thing with the linebacking core, because essentially, other than, even though Rojas played a lot last year, you know, Kobe's really the only one. DeLuca's going to be full-time, and the adjustment of Carter there. So, you know, it's always the front line. But I think in this sense, because of it's Penn State, you know, looking how the linebacking core can function as a unit as well. Cohesion, I think that's the word.
Also, down the road, how interested are you by what when they finally get to showing the renderings of what Beaver Stadium could look like?
Wow, I didn't see that one coming. That's a great question. I they're going to do a lot with the guts and the infrastructure and the concourses and the restrooms. I'm kind of interested. We saw them, I think it was in 17, with Phil Eskin and Sandy Barber. We saw, you know, some brick facade and mm-hmm. walkways, but I'm curious. And I guess it's going to be more populous and Radisic's point of view of what the facade looks like.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of, you know, aesthetically, where is it going to end up? Because we know all the guts are going to be done, and we know there's going to be a ton of new suites on the west side. But, you know, the shining castle on the hill, what's that going to look like?
Right. No, it's interesting times. Without question. Now the 12-team playoff. What were your thoughts when they decided to go to 12 And what are your thoughts about the possibility that when the new contract comes up in 26 that it goes to 14?
Oh, I think it'll go to 14. No doubt about it. And you know this. You know, it's funny when I talk to you because you know everything I'm going to say. but no one in college football since 2014 would have benefited from a 12-team playoff more than Penn State. Mm-hmm. I think it would have been five times, Steve.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yep. Yes.
So even at this point, 10-2 gets you in. Maybe 9-3, but I think you can certainly see your way to a 10-2 this year. So I think out of almost anybody, you know, Penn State is in one of the best positions for this change, and they've been working on it. I mean, they're ready for a December game in Beaver Stadium almost now. It may not be super pretty, but internally, you know, they've been working on those things.
Okay, and that'll be something that'll be interesting down the road. Now let's get to the Big Ten. You talked about teaching. You do not teach your children through sports. There are going to be 18 teams in the Big Ten, and the Dallas Cowboys are in the NFC East. All right, so. all right.
That's good.
All right, but what do you see, pro and con, of an 18-school Big Ten, and not just in football, but in almost in every sport?
Well, I'm going to answer this on a little bit larger scale. You certainly remember the College Football Association, 64 teams in the late 70s and the 80s, which really took off thanks to the Supreme Court ruling in 1984. Yep. I mean, we're almost on the cusp of a recreation of the CFA. It would not be surprised if college football at the biggest levels become the separate subdivision, and maybe not tomorrow, maybe not in 2 or 4 years, but you'll get back to more regionalism, not of football and not of basketball, but I think a lot of the other sports, you're going to get back to some more of the regionalism. You're going to see it's going to be restructured and contract that way. There's going to be big time college football, and then you're going to go back. The other sports are going to go back in more of geographical regions because the dollars and cents of it, they're spending tens of millions of dollars now to facilitate these artificial conferences that were necessitated by the dollars of big time college football contracts.
Really interesting answer, and I agree with that. I mean, I felt when the Big Ten was in divisions for football, they should have gone divisions in the other sports too, right? And I'm talking about the quote non-revenue producing, like, you know, plus minus sports. But the coaches never wanted to do it because they didn't want to seem like they were lesser. That's why they didn't do it. All right,
I hear you, Mike.
Yeah, Mike, an absolute pleasure as always. Really enjoyed it, and always great to see you, my friend.
Thanks, Professor Jones. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Mike.
Bye-bye.
Mike Poorman, statecollege.com, and yes, without question, one of the more popular professors at Penn State, without question. We will come back. More in a moment. This half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street. Somebody go to purdyinsurance.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing, they can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn what they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
And once again, call someone who's crawling back to the show.
Who's that?
Oh, here we go.
I was trying to think of what is the worst thing I could come up with to suggest that we talk about. And I came up with Formula E.
I was about to tell you that just opening the mic.
Oh, there you go. See, this is Formula what you really E. miss is the free setups. That's what you really miss.
Holy mackerel. Formula E. I remember we talked about esports one time.
Yeah.
I sat here and went, what am I doing? that was almost my last day. Like, what are we doing?
I said, if this is my future of play-by-play, I'm done. I'm done.
I mean, they tried to make a big deal out of esports, I don't know, 10 years ago?
Yeah.
And to its credit, and I do give it a lot of credit, it went nowhere.
I mean, I'll play these games, but I'm not going to play them in front of a crowd.
Oh, no. Was it Turner? TBS?
ESPN did it, too.
Like, we started carrying this?
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here? It's a video game. Right, you got these people who are about as athletic as we are.
Which is why we play the game in the first place, Steven.
Like, God, I don't want to watch this.
This is why I create those players. Todd talks about it too. This is why I create those players, because I'm never going to be one.
This half hour has been brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And welcome back to the Steve Jones Show from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Steve will be joining us shortly. I don't know, maybe the rain had an issue there or not. But he was talking about flooding in some of the areas of State College. Of course, we have some small streams and urban-style flooding going on around here. WKOK.com has a list of some road closures if you want to catch those before you head out from work today. Then you can find out exactly what's going on there. Watched the Phillies game last night. I'll tell you what. In listening, you listen to the Phillies game on the radio, you get Larry Anderson, who takes an opportunity to poke fun at John Kruk. Then you got to flip over to the TV side to hear Kruk respond to Larry Anderson. You get the best of both worlds there, but I'll tell you what, Kruk was wound up last night. He was very entertaining.
Was he really?
Well, you know, it helps when you have Bryce Harper hitting the baseball and no one being able to catch it. That's a big help. And then you have some pitching.
So he hit it to you?
That's exactly right. But I did see this kid, Pinto. Did you see him in Williamsport?
Yes.
I wondered about that.
I did.
Here's a guy that was in, I guess, Rochester, New York yesterday. They sent a car for him. He got to the stadium in the fourth inning, went to the bullpen, and then came in the game and pitched like the last four innings.
Yeah.
That's a great story.
The movie with the rookie?
Yes, that was what it reminded me of with Dennis Quaid.
Dennis Quaid as he comes in from the Durham Bulls, and they put him in the game right away.
That's exactly what I was thinking last night.
What'd you throw him? Fastball? Fastball and fastball.
That's the one where he's with his high school team and they're working on a speed gun, but the speed gun isn't in a stadium. It's actually a speed trap along the road.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it didn't register properly. It looked like he threw 76 and he actually threw 96.
Yeah.
Because the one line didn't come down.
That's the one that flashed. As soon as everybody goes away, it flashes up correctly then. Yeah. I remember that now.
Yep.
So that was a great one.
Yeah. So, fun movie, without question. We were talking football earlier, Penn State football. No jobs, as I said to Mike, are won in spring practice. I know there may be some people that think they are. No. But what they essentially do is they'll sit down before the start of training camp, and you do have to put out a group of ones, and you have to put out a group of twos and a group of threes as starting points, but that's all it is, starting points. Jobs are won and lost in the first 2.5 weeks or so of training camp. Right now, you're not winning jobs, but you're trying to prove that you're worthy of a job. And what I find interesting is in this era of transfer portal, and of course, you actually were one of the forerunners of the transfer portal. You transferred out of this show as quickly as you could. I mean, you know, you really are a...
I've been all around the transfer portal.
And you lead the league in transfer portal. But, you know, in the transfer portal, we always talk about, okay, Julian Fleming's coming in. Great. A.J. Harris is coming. Great. Jalen Kimber's coming. Great. Nolan Rucci's coming in. Great. What kind of impact can they have? But sometimes... the guys that you come back for the extra year are the equivalent of acquiring somebody in the transfer portal. Mike Poorman and I brought up Devon Ellis. He's coming back for a sixth year. Akeem Beeman is taking an extra year. Keandre Lambert-Smith taking an extra year. When they all could have gone to the draft if they wanted to. Those sometimes keeping people that exercise an extra year is the equivalent of acquiring somebody in the transfer portal. Penn State is exponentially better off that Ellis stayed. Penn State is exponentially better off because Akeem Beeman stayed. And Penn State is exponentially better off because Keandre Lambert-Smith stayed. Dre has had, to this point, a really good and very productive spring. Just has gone about his business. How this offense is run really fits how he plays. And I think there is an opportunity. We'll see how it plays out, but there is an opportunity he could put together a really, really good season because of what, because this offense emphasizes a skill set that he brings to the table. And keeping Tyler Warren, same thing. Tyler Warren coming back. I mean, these sometimes retaining your certain guys is just as critical as to who you require in the transfer portal. To me, these are the equivalent of, when you keep certain people, to me, that's the equivalent of actually getting the steal out of the transfer portal. Maybe it's a different way to look at it, but that's how I look at it. And these guys so far have been in the spring what I hoped they would be. And Ellis is a real leader. Ellis is a real leader, just like Nick Dawkins is a real leader. They bring a different leadership style to the table. Every team has its own leadership style. 2 years ago, you had strong vocal leaders. Last year, you had strong leaders, but they were quiet. This year, Ellis and Dawkins are more on that vocal side of it and are very strong leaders. It makes a big difference. And having one like that on each side of the ball, big difference. K.J. Winston, Jalen Reed. Jalen Reed's a real leader. Dom DeLuca's a leader. K.J.'s a leader. Reed really is. And on the offensive side, Drew, Bo, Nick Dawkins, they're real leaders for them as well. Julian Fleming is a leader. He may not be there a long time, but Julian Fleming is a leader. And so they're off to a good start there. But again, no jobs won during this period of time. No jobs won. Doesn't happen in the spring. Now, as for the basketball transfer portal, it is a cast of thousands out there. Just in case you were wondering. Now the speculation is, what is happening with Bronny James? Everybody slow down. Penn State already has one out of the transfer portal, and it was one they had to get. I thought this was a great pickup, and Dick Girardi knows more about this player than I do because he saw him play not a couple of times, but a lot at George School. And he went to Xavier, but they put extra weight on him. They wanted to make him a five. That's not who this guy is. Right? You watch, what Greg Golden does with him. He's the strength and conditioning coach. You watch what they do with him. And Kachienza is going to be, he has a chance to be a really good player, especially if he's playing the four spot. Yeah, he can play some five, too. And he's got 3 years of eligibility remaining. But, for a first get, that was an important first get to get. And by the way, Demetrius Lilly has committed to play at LaSalle. And as you know, Kanye Cleary is going to Mississippi State. So there we are. I know you want to talk about the Indy 500.
Actually, no. I'm not ready yet.
You're not ready yet?
I'm not prepared yet.
When might you be ready?
It's going to be another month. It's going to be at least late April.
Because normally I focus in on it in June.
Yeah, yes, you do. That's exactly right. Or the day after, assuming there wasn't a rainout.
Then I push it back a day.
Yeah, I watched a couple of the, they had this $1 million challenge out at a private track in Southern California, and yeah, that's the kind of race it felt like for the biggest part of the race. That's exactly what I was doing.
Does anybody pass anymore?
Well, I'll say this: there's a lot more passing in IndyCar than there is in any of the other open wheel sports or open wheel races. Formula One has become a big, big snore.
I've been telling you that for years. You acted like I didn't know what I said. The guy that wins the pole wins the race.
Well, see, now that's where I disagree slightly, because the first three laps, the first three laps are the most exciting laps, and anytime there's a safety car.
It's just
sorry. After that, and the pit stops are ridiculous.
Look, the bottom line is it's like the America's Cup.
Yes.
Right? Just arm the boats. All right, we'll come back.
Not where I thought you were going.
We'll come back with more in a moment. This half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com and News Radio 1070 WKOK. Half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great warranties, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee, terrific service department, routine difficult, they handle it all with great pros. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online, sunburymotors.com. Orioles and Royals delayed. Rangers lead the Rays 1-0, bottom of the 7th in St. Petersburg. Angels lead the Marlins 6-2, end of 5 in Miami. And the Brewers lead the Twins 2-1 in Milwaukee in the bottom of the 5th. Yankees and Diamondbacks play at 3:40 today. The Yankees will not have an undefeated season.
Was that a possibility?
Right now, the Pirates, it's a possibility.
Yeah, that's true. Yes. That's a very good point. Phillies, are they still on for 305 yet?
The Phillies...
They were a 105 start, and then they moved it back last night, but I haven't seen anything about a delay or anything.
The Phillies...
405, sorry, not 305.
The Phillies game with the Reds is at 4:05. Yes. Right now, Braves, White Sox postponed. In Chicago, Tigers, Mets at Citi Field postponed. Red Sox, A's at 3:37. Yankees, D-backs at 3:40. Reds, Phillies at 4:05. Guardians, Mariners in Seattle at 4:10. Padres, Cardinals, 4:10 in San Diego. Then tonight, Pirates, Nationals at 6:45. Rockies, Cubs at Wrigley. Jays and Astros at 8:10, and the Giants and the Dodgers at 10:10 tonight.
I'm glad Major League Baseball made one change, though, and started playing divisional games earlier. Was it last year or the year before that they had like an entire month and a half before they played a divisional game? It just seemed wrong.
Mm. Yeah. Now, you're playing everybody. So everybody is playing everybody home and away. There's still more of a connection to divisional teams. Now the Phillies are playing a non-divisional foe. They're playing the Reds, and Harper had the 3 home runs last night. They won 9-4.
At least they started the season with a divisional game, though.
Yeah, they did. They played the Braves. That worked out really well.
I didn't say it worked out well. I said at least they started with a divisional game.
Yeah.
Hey, but you know what? They finished the series only one game down to the Braves, so.
Yeah. That'll be interesting. As to have it. The Braves, I still say they are the best team in the division, even though the Phillies keep beating them in the playoffs at least 2 years in a row. But.
If I'm a Braves fan, I got to ask the question, how can this team play so well in the regular season and then get stymied from a team that they just handled all through the regular year?
short series. I mean, life is different in a short series. It always is. You've got to be able to get the advantage early in it. You've got to be able to capitalize. You've got to be the team that's up 2-0 and not down 2-0 or even at 1-1. Then it becomes psychological.
Would you agree in a 7-game series that first game losing it is not as catastrophic as in that those shorter series?
Oh, five game series, it is catastrophic. Third game, 3-game series, really bad. 7-game series, you got plenty of time to bounce back. Yeah, the longer the series, the more capital to play with, as opposed to now we have to get one back. We have to do it right away. And there's more of a pressure to do that. At least to me, there is. While everybody is messing around with, like, the Royals, they don't know what they're doing. The A's, they don't know what they're doing. The Guardians and Progressive have struck a new 13-year deal. So they're all set there. They won't be changing the name of their ballpark anytime soon. It's a deal through 2036. I'll put a picture of the gecko up there. That'd be great. Oh, that's Geico.
Wrong one.
How about Flo?
There you go.
She Progressive?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. Great. And so that's a 13-year deal. They're all set there. The A's don't know what they're doing. By the way, the Brewers want a new ballpark. Man, have you seen their ballpark?
Have a new ballpark with it?
Yeah,
I mean, I don't think it's as old as Citizens Bank, is it?
Goodness. And it's about the same age.
I thought it was. I didn't think it was that old.
My goodness gracious.
And it's got so much character. I love ballparks with character.
It's a gigantic building. Oh, my God. If you're in downtown, you're driving in from the airport to downtown Milwaukee, in other words, if you've ever been to Indianapolis with Lucas Oil Stadium, my goodness, the structure just stands out. That's Miller Park. I don't know what it's called these days, but
I saw it the other day and I can't remember it either.
Yeah, let's see, Miller Park.
I can't think of it now.
It's American Family Field.
Oh, that's right, American Family. Yep. Isn't San Diego the one that has the iron manufacturing place in left field by the foul pole?
I think so. Yeah.
You know how I know that?
Because you're really into iron?
Nah, MLB 23.
Oh, jeez.
The stadiums look really good. They have all the characteristics of the real one.
You can't wait for the...
Oh, you're going to say NCAA football?
Yeah.
You bet. I already have mine on reserve, my friend. I have been waiting almost a decade for this.
$70?
That's okay. I'll just take some vacation time. I'll have bags under my eyes. I'll be up all night.
You're taking vacation time to play a video game.
You're darn right I am.
You know what's really cool about sports? Broadcasting the real thing.